You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Anybody have your Bible? I have my iPad Bible right here. Ready to go? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. We're on a series, have been for a couple of months, on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and gifts of the Spirit. Woohoo! It has just been awesome. We've had several people filled with the Holy Ghost. In fact, just Sunday, Gary Upham ministered and didn't know that I'd been preaching on this for a couple months. And we had several people come up and get baptized with the Holy Ghost and get prayed for that. If you're saved and you're a Christian, you're washing the blood, you need to get baptized with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You need that power from on high to come upon you, especially in these last days. We need that anointing of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit upon us. And Jesus didn't idly provide that, nor did he idly tell us to tarry in Jerusalem until we be endued with power from on high. He did it with an intent and purpose because we need that power. I need all the weaponry and equipment that I can get to beat the devil at his game, to beat this world that we live in. Amen? And one of those weapons is the Holy Ghost. Insight, strategist. I mean, he is a leader and a guide. We need the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And we've been teaching on the gifts of the Spirit after we taught on baptism of the Holy Ghost for several weeks now into the gifts. And we separated them for simplicity's sake. This is not in the Bible, but it helps us to remember the nine gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, 8, 9, and 10. For simplicity's sake, there are revelation gifts, there are power gifts, and then there are what we call vocal gifts. Revelation gifts are gifts that reveal something. Now stay with me. This is just a simple breakdown. And you might use other categories, and that's perfectly all right and perfectly fine. You know, Kenneth Hagin uses this one, and Howard Carter, and Lester Summerall, and different ones. And I like it because it's easy to remember. Revelation gifts are gifts that reveal something. Word of knowledge reveals the past or the present. Word of wisdom. Everybody say word of wisdom. Okay. There's no gift of wisdom. There's no gift of knowledge. Are you with me? There's no gift of discerning. Well, I think I got the gift of discernment. No, you got the gift of suspicion. That's what that is. That's not a gift. Now, you can get wisdom, yeah, and you can get knowledge, but see, this is a gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of wisdom, and the gift of discerning of spirits, specifically discerning of spirits. So those are things that reveal. The gift of word of wisdom reveals the future and the plan of God. Most every case, when the gift of word of wisdom is in play, it predicts something, shows something that's going to happen, and it gives instruction. Because wisdom usually has instruction with it, telling you to do something or not do something. And let me tell you something. Just because God predicts the future in your life or someone else's life through a gift of word of wisdom, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. In fact, you may not follow the instruction, and if you don't follow the instruction, it won't happen. Are you with me? And that's, we find that all through the Scripture, people that missed their commandment, their assignment. And so what God wanted to happen didn't happen. He prophesied it would if they would do this, but they didn't do that, and so it didn't happen. But he was predicting their future. It was a gift, a word of wisdom, but it was contingent on them. Are you with me? Obey it. And the gift of discerning spirits, of course, is revealing spirits, good or bad. I mean, most visions were most all visions that you saw a demon or you saw an angel, whether it's good or bad, was part of that gift. And I believe Paul operated in it in Acts 16 chapter, where he knew that woman had a spirit of divination. You know, he was grieved after 3 days, turned to the Spirit and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, and have come out of her. And she was delivered. So that would be an operation in that sense. But it's not a gift of suspicion. It's not a gift of whether you know someone's, you know, right, I don't feel right about that guy. That's not the gift of discerning spirits. The gift of discerning spirits is the seeing or understanding of spirits. And it would have something to do with maybe devils, maybe. But not just that. Also angelic beings. And John's revelation, the book of Revelation, he saw into the Spirit. He saw demons coming out of the pit. He saw angels out of heaven. I mean, that was a gift in operation. So those are gifts that reveal something. Revelation gifts. Then the gifts that are gifts of power would be the gifts of healing. Gifts, plural, of healing. And a gift of working of miracles, and the gift of faith. That's not regular faith. And we've taught on this. Now I'm reviewing quickly. The gift of faith goes hand in hand with working of miracles or gifts of healings. I understand that. A lot of these gifts work together. You know, sometimes we make a big deal out of trying to figure out which one it is. We all just let it happen. And we'll figure it all out later. We'll assess this thing when it's all said and done. But right now, God's showing me something, and we'll figure out what it is later. What was that? Was that the word? I think there are rules, and I think we can define them. But it's not necessary that you know each specific one while it's operating. Just obey God. Go with it. Amen? Just go with it. If God's moving you to do something, go do it. We'll sit down and talk about what gift that was, after the fact, if you don't know. But the power of gifts of healings, that's not just gift of healing. Somebody doesn't possess a gift of healing. But you see, it's very common in some evangelists and some crusaders that they operate seemingly in one area more than others. More people get healed in this area than other areas. Just like Brother Osteen used to, when he'd lay hands on people with skin rashes, it seemed like they all got healed. In the book of Acts, 8th chapter, Philip, it says many sick of the palsies and lame were healed. It's significant that he didn't say all manner of sickness and disease. It only says that about Jesus, because he had the Spirit without measure. Y'all with me? But we have it in measure. I'm not an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. Are you out there? Jesus was all five. He was all five. But no man is all five. Nobody's all five. Jesus had all. He healed all manner of diseases and all manner of sickness among the people. But when you get in the book of Acts, you begin to see a kind of specific type of healing taking place in different people's lives. And it says gifts, plural, of healings. And you see that operation in different evangelists. We talked about that. Get to work in a miracle is pretty obvious. A miracle. You know what a miracle is? Come on, axe head floating, that'd be a miracle. Are you out there feeding 5,000? That'd be a miracle. Multiplication of fish and water into wine, that's a miracle. See, miracle separate from healing in that sense. And then the gift of faith, which I believe many times is required when those are operating. It's not normal that you go jerk somebody out of a wheelchair unless you got the gift of faith hit you. You might pray for them, believe with them, help them out, let's stand, whatever, but just go over and grab them and just jerk them out. Something came over you. Most everybody that operates in that gift, when there is a miracle takes place or a healing takes place or something supernatural happens, they'll tell you when it's all over, I can't believe I just did that. Because it comes on them and then it's gone. It turns them into another man. It's the gift of faith. It's not the faith that we all have. God's dealt with it to every man to measure faith. We all have faith, but that's not the gift of faith. Hey, we can all get healed. Lay hands on sick and they shall recover. But that's not the gift of healings. I believe we can get a miracle if we need one. But that's not the work in miracles. If you believe God, stand on His word, you can get whatever it is He promises. If you'll hang tough and you'll not quit and you'll not give up, you keep believing, keep your mouth straight. Amen? Keep your faith going. But that's not necessarily the gifts of healings nor the gift of work in miracles. Are you out there? Okay. These things are instantaneously. They come as the Spirit wills. They're divided severally to every man as the Spirit wills. You laying hands on sick is your will. Amen? So the will is the deciding factor here. And I think the instantaneous, the immediacy of it is another deciding factor. With gifts, there is no waiting period. With gifts, it's immediate. But then sometimes you and I are believing for things, it takes a while for them to happen. I don't know. I don't understand all that, but I'm not going to quit believing because I don't see a change. I'm going to keep believing until that change comes. Amen? But that's not the gift. That's just believing for healing, believing for a miracle, believing for wisdom. You can get wisdom from the Word. You can get knowledge from the Word. Are you with me? You can get insight from the Word. That's not the gift. It's not the gift. If you lack wisdom, ask. God will give it to you. But that's not a gift. Y'all see what we're talking about. Then the last three, which I want to talk about tonight. I got about 25 minutes. Because I am determined to let y'all out at 8:30 on Wednesday nights. And obviously, if the Holy Ghost falls here, we're going to stay all night long. But the last three gifts I would call vocal gifts, or gifts that speak, gifts that say something. Now, I know these overlap because the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge is spoken out also. I understand that. But just for sake of categorizing these so we can remember them, you got revelation gifts, you got power gifts, gifts that do something. Then you have what we call vocal gifts, gifts that speak or say something. They are prophecy, and then tongues and interpretation of tongues. Not to be confused with baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. And you know what the difference is there? The will. There it is again. Everyone spoke in tongues that was baptized with the Holy Ghost in Acts 2. Everybody spoke in tongues that was baptized with the Holy Ghost in Acts 10. Everybody spoke in tongues that was baptized in the Holy Ghost in Acts 19. Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. in 1 Corinthians 4:18, more than all the church at Corinth. But that was not the gift of tongues that he's talking about here. This is very specific. The Bible's very plain. The Bible says, by the Spirit to one is given the gift of tongues. Well, now, if the gift of tongues is what happened in Acts 2, if the gift of tongues is what happened in Acts 10 and Acts 19, then why didn't some of them prophesy? And why didn't some of them have a gift of healing? And why didn't some of them have a gift of discerning spirits? Why didn't some of them have a work in America? Are you with me? No, but it says they all spoke with tongues. So that's not the gift divided severally to every man as the Spirit wills to one is given the gift. Obviously, there's two things going on here. There's prayer language, or being baptized with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. Then there's the gift of tongues, which he addresses the policy, the way it's supposed to operate in a church service in the 14th chapter. Are you with me? As opposed to what you privately do all the time when you're worshiping and you're praising and you're prayer when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues. See, that's where the confusion comes. At the end of the 12th chapter, where it says, are all teachers, are all apostles, are all prophets, do all speak in tongues? The obvious answer to all those questions is no. But he's talking about the gift of tongues, not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? All do speak with tongues that are baptized with the Holy Ghost, but not the gift of tongues. You know, we all should admonish one another and teach one another, but we're not all teachers. Are you with me? I mean, you go down that list. To some degree, we do some of those things all the time, but we're not in that office. Amen? And so there's kind of a counterpart. There's wisdom you can pray for, but it's not the gift of word of wisdom. There's knowledge you can attain, but it's not the gift of word of knowledge. You personally can attain knowledge, but it's not the gift of the word of knowledge. You can pray in other tongues when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, but that's not the gift of tongues. Can you say amen, somebody? Okay. So you got three gifts, what we call vocal gifts, and they're simple. Prophecy in its simple form is not necessarily predictive. We think of predictions as prophecies. They are prophesied out by a prophet, but the simple gift of prophecy is just to encourage, edify, and exhort someone, according to 1 Corinthians 14 chapter. I tell you what, let me read 1 Corinthians 12, 8, 9, and 10. Is this helping anybody? I know I have a real laid-back style, but I do lay it all out there, and if you're taking notes, and you know, there's a lot you can write down here. 8th, 9th, 10th verse, for to one is given the word of wisdom, to one. To everybody? No, to one. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another. To everybody? No. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing, gifts plural of healings. Every time it's mentioned plural. Gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the self same Spirit works all these things, dividing or distributing to each one individually as he wills. So that's pretty plain. I mean, we're not talking about something that everybody does. We're talking about something that's divided out by the Spirit. And he makes his whole case about how nobody's any more important than another. No one's better than another. Just because a gift is used or given in a service, it doesn't make that person more spiritual than anybody else. That just happened to be the one that the Holy Spirit chose to give that gift to at that time. Are you out there? Can you say amen, somebody? And you can't say, the hand can't say, the eye have no need of thee. And the hand can't say, the head, I have no need of thee. Are you with me? You go through all these. He makes his case in the 12th chapter about diversity. And one thing the Bible teaches is that we're different. We're not the same. We're equally loved, but we definitely differently gifted. Celebrate the difference, a la difference. Amen? That's a good thing. We don't want everybody the same, but we're all equally important. We're all equally loved. Amen? Those are the same, but we're unique. All of us are unique, but nobody's better than anybody else. That's the point he's making. Okay, 14th chapter. Wow. I get so tickled. I never have enough time. I think it's because Ronnie and Barbara here. You know, if they weren't here, I probably would have plenty of time. It has to do something. It's something to do, Ron. It's got to be. I blame somebody. Yeah. Okay. 14th chapter, first verse. Pursue love. That'd be a good thing to do, amen? That's what the 13th chapter is all about. It's sandwiched in between the 12th chapter and the 14th, talking about the gifts in the 12th, and talks about the operation of them in the 14th. And then it sandwiches in the chapter of love. Love, 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 love. I love that. I love love. How about you? What's love got to do with it? Got everything to do with it. Love's got everything to do with it. And what he's talking about when he talks about love is not love or gifts, love or tongues, love. Are you with me? No. He's saying love's not a thing that you choose above other things. Love is a way you do all things. In fact, what love was about was if I speak in tongues and don't have love, if I prophesy and don't have love, if I give my body to be burned and don't, if I give to the poor and don't have love. He's not saying don't give to the poor. Just love people. Well, you can't love people if you don't. You got to give the poor to love people. Amen. In fact, if you want to take that argument on out, if you love people, you ought to move in the gifts. You ought to believe for the gifts to flow. But you ought to do it in love. Gifts aren't about blasting people. They're not about showboating. They're not about exalting yourself. They're not about showing off your spirituality. They are about helping others. That's what it's all about. And so you ought to covet these gifts, but pursue love. Amen? Boy, I can preach a message on that. Ooh, hallelujah, somebody. I'm starting to feel it. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now let's follow this out. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him, howbeit or however in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Well, that sounds pretty good to me. Not good necessary for public ministry, unless he goes on talks about it's interpreted. But tongues, when someone's speaking in a tongue, he's speaking mysteries. Ooh, I love that. In the Spirit. So there's some benefits to tongue. We just taught a message on that not too long ago on the benefits of speaking in other tongues and use this verse here. You speak mysteries when you're speaking in other tongues. Listen, you're not speaking mysteries to God that he does not know. I believe what's happening, you're speaking mysteries by the Holy Ghost that you don't know. Why? I mean, I know you're speaking to God in the Spirit, but the mysteries that are being spoken are mysteries that you don't know. By praying in other tongues, there are mysteries that are coming alive. I love that. Because you're not going to teach God anything by praying in tongues. Hey, God, let me pray in tongues a while and you'll get a little smarter. God's going to get a mystery he didn't know by you praying in tongues? No, you're going to get a mystery you don't know when you pray in tongues. Does that make sense? But you are speaking to God, and that's a beneficial thing, but you're not speaking to men. Everybody got that distinction? Because this is something he goes over through this whole chapter. Speaking to men, speaking to God, speaking to men, speaking to God. Okay, now, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him, however, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. I love that. You do benefit from praying in another tongue, no doubt about it. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Okay, there is the simple gift of prophecy. Edifies, comforts. You get that, exhorts, lifts people, edifies. You know, most words that come forth just boil down to that. They're not necessarily predictive. Most words that come forth in a prophecy are to encourage, to build up, to lift up, to charge up, you know. It may have some instruction about coming to God and putting him first in your life, lifting him up and lifting yourself up in a process and so on. God's trying to encourage us and comfort us. He's trying to exhort us. Not necessarily the word of wisdom, not necessarily the word of knowledge, not necessarily predictive. And it's just encouragement. It's good. Are you with me? That's a simple gift of prophecy. And sometime in a prophecy, a word of knowledge can come forth and a word of wisdom can come forth. Just like a cup of coffee at Starbucks. Starting to feel it. I'm the anointing or the caffeine, something's kicking in here. I don't know. You get a cup of coffee, we call it a cup of coffee, but you might have sugar in it, you might have milk in it, are you with me? But it's a vehicle, carries maybe milk, but we call it coffee or tea, a glass of tea, if you're so inclined. You know, it might have milk in it, it might have a lemon in it, it might have sugar in it, it might be sweet, it might be unsweet, but we say, what are you drinking? I'm drinking a glass of tea. Isn't that right? And so sometimes a prophecy is that way. We generally say prophecy because it's prophesied out. That's what prophesy means, to declare, to decree, speak out. And so, but it might carry with it you know, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, or something. So some people say, well, prophecy is all predict. No, it's not. All predictions are prophecies, no question. Are you with me? But they're in a prophecy. They're spoken out. But simple prophecy is just to edify, encourage, and exhort. You can exhort someone, encourage someone by the Spirit. God could just pick someone out, and you might have a word for them to encourage them. And that's the simple gift of prophecy. It speaks to men. Speaks to women. Amen? So it says, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He who prophesies edifies the church. Now this is a theme he's going to bring all through this 14th chapter. We're not going to get into all of it tonight, but we're going to get into some of it. And this is what he's talking about. This is a problem they had at Corinth. They had a problem of division at Corinth. They didn't have a problem with tongues. They didn't have a problem with the gifts. They had a problem of order. They had a problem of disunity. They were separating off these little cliques. One say, I'm of Paul. One say, I'm of Apollos. They were trying to say this gift was better than that gift, and that gift's better than this gift. And then they really begin showboat and exalt themselves. And he said, look, you missed the whole deal here. It's not about yourself. The anointing on me is not mine. Do you know that? The anointing on me to pastor and teach is not, it's not mine. I know I call it my calling, but it's actually for the world. It's for you. It's not for me. God didn't call me to pastor me. He called me to pastor you. He didn't call me to teach me. He called me to teach you. And so if I have an anointing on me and the Holy Ghost flowing on me, it's not for me. It's for you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted. The anointing is always for others. It's always about others. And the gift on us is always for others. And so he's saying here that he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. But now in a church service, he who prophesies edifies the church. Now the only difference there is when he gets into the gift of tongues, which has an interpretation of tongues, then the church profits from that. But I'm not supposed to stand up here and go, and just spend, you know, 30, 40, 50 minutes, an hour, just looking at you praying in tongues. Now listen, I would get edified. I'd be so charged up. Woo. Man, you walk around praying in tongues for about 45 minutes to an hour, you're going to get charged up. But the rest of you be going, what? What? Are you with me? See, I should speak to you in a voice you can understand, and I'm here to minister to you, not to me. And if I do give a tongue, it should be the gift of tongues with an interpretation. Amen? Because this is what he goes on to say. He said, I wish, fifth verse, that you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesied is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed, he interprets, that the church may receive edification. Oh, wow. So now we're back on the same plane here. Tongue interpretation is equivalent to prophecy. You say, well, why don't we just prophesy everything out? Because you're not God. And I'm not God. And if God wants to give a tongue interpretation, it's his business. Now, if you want to tell God how to run his business, you go right ahead. I'm just going to go with the flow here. If God wants to give a prophecy, and a lot of times I get up and just give a prophecy, you know, and feel that an unction or something, and then sometimes a tongue's given. Brenda will give a tongue, give interpretation. You know, Mari moves in the gift of tongues, and then I'll interpret, or someone will interpret, you know, and Eva flows in interpretation and so on. I mean, if God wants to do a tongue interpretation, that's his business. If he wants to just give a prophecy, just prophesy something out without the tongue, that's fine too. I mean, they're equivalent. You say, well, I don't think we ought to be just giving the tongue interpretation, just prophesy. Well, see, that's why you didn't write the Bible. Because you get it all out on paper and you figure it all out and you think, well, there's no sense in that. We're just wasting time here. We ought to do this. Well, God's doing something when a tongue and interpretation is given. And that's his business. Are you with me? And who are we to ask, tell God how to do something? You know, we got no business doing that. He's telling us how to do it. And we need to get the protocol right here, okay? Are you out there? That's why we have all this instruction, so we would know how to operate in the gifts. I think it's awesome that you have this chapter that goes in detail on the gifts and how to operate in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. It even talks about the prophets. And it's amazing to me In many churches, you don't even have tongues. You don't even have prophecies. You don't even have the gifts flowing. So not only would you have to cut out the 12th chapter, which talks about the gifts and makes a huge case there, you'd have to cut out the 14th chapter that tells you how to operate them. Because if you don't have them, how can you operate them? I remember having a discussion one time at a family reunion. And everybody had just gone off. I mean, they had just gone off. They were Christians and believers, but not quite Holy Ghost, you know, like we are. And I was listening, and they were rolling and just talking about some wild service they had seen and making fun of it. And they said, well, boy, in our church, we don't put up with that kind of stuff. We don't put up with that at all, you know. And I said, well, wait a minute, guys. You know, I was nice. I was nice, but I was firm. Wasn't I nice? I thought I was pretty nice. I said, wait a minute, let me ask you. There's a whole bunch of guys, too. They're all sitting around this, oh, God, yeah, oh, man, we don't put up with that. No, I don't have that in our church. You know, we have order in our church. I said, well, that's good. I like that. You got order in your church. What do you got order over? Because where the scripture you're quoting there where it says, let all things be done decently in order, it's the end of this chapter, incidentally. It says, let all things be done decently in order. You got nothing being done to have order over. You got order over nothing. No, I mean, it started stuttering and backing up. And I said, I was smiling. I said, look, you've seen some abuse in the gifts. And so you just cut them out altogether. You can't have order over nothing. The whole point of said letting things be done decently in order is that things would be done. Not that we'd cut them out, but that we'd let them be done in order. Sure, I see some abuse, and I tell you, it does turn people off, and I think it gives God a bad rap, but the answer is to not throw them all out. The answer is to go back to the Scripture, and let's look and see if we're doing this thing right. Because we want it done. We want gifts done. We want the flow of the Spirit, but we want it done decently, and we want it done in order. Now here, he talks about order. Are you with me? Whew, good stuff. Amen? Okay, so, he talks about this. Oh, man. Fifth verse. I wish you all, or I would that you all spoke with tongues. You know, it's amazing. I'm reading New King James and quoting King James. But even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching. Does that make sense? So he's not coming against tongues. He's talking about the proper order of tongues. We're talking about baptized with the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. That's private. We're talking about the gift of tongues. It should be accompanied with interpretation. Because it's all about others. Amen? And it's about coming to you or coming to God. See, this is why I have no problem when we're worshiping. If someone's worshiping in other tongues, that's fine. I have a problem with that. We're not talking to each other. We're talking to God. Now, if the song leader were up here, if Dr. Burr up here, and he never used the words on the PowerPoint, never led us in the words and just up the whole time, just worshiped in tongues the whole time and never got into any of the words, then we'd get another song leader. Because that wouldn't be leading. Now, you understand that. That wouldn't be leading. That doesn't mean there are times we go off in the Spirit and he does that, and that's perfectly proper and all right. Are you with me? Because we're all doing that. I've heard people say, well, we just don't allow that in our worship. We don't allow anybody to, we believe in it, it's private, but in worship, boy, we're in the church, and you shouldn't speak in tongues in the church unless there's interpretation. No, if I'm speaking to you, there should be interpretation. But if we're worshiping, talking to God, we're not talking to each other. That makes sense? That's the point he made over and over and over. He says, if I come to you speaking with tongues, not worshiping God. I mean, when I worship God, I'm going in tongues all the time. I go in English and tongues and so on. But you notice our song leader sings the words. Unless we go off, you know, into the Spirit. That's perfectly all right to do that when we're all doing it. Sixth verse. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you, either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching. Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it be known what is piped or played? You know, the trumpet, they play the trumpet in battle for charge, and they also play the trumpet for retreat. If you don't understand which sound they're making, it can get a little confusing. So they're not just playing the trumpet, they're playing a distinct sound, which they understand is a charge. They're playing a distinct sound, which means retreat. So even a things without life, like instruments, you need to play them in a manner that is understood. And that's the whole point, to benefit the listener, the one that's out there being played to, you know, or preached to, or taught. So I'm up here. If I were to go off in tongues, there needs to be interpretation, because I'm talking to you. Make sense? See? And so that's why prophecy is greater than tongues, unless there's interpretation. Then it equals out. Okay. 8th verse 4, if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? I just made that point. So likewise, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, it may sound spiritual. You may, just go off in tongues. Oh man, he's so spiritual. But see, that's not, what does that do? That just makes you look at me and look at how spiritual I am. That's not what it's about. It's about, I should be helping you and ministering to you. So I need to use language you can understand. So tongues has its place, baptism of the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues, but it's private. It's really private. Unless we're talking about the gift with interpretation. So he says, 9th verse, so likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, many kinds of languages in the world. None of them are without significance. And that's true. You ever been to a foreign country? Anybody ever been to a foreign country? Been somewhere where you don't understand the language? Been there lots of times. Didn't know what in the world are going on. Can't understand it, you know. I know they know what they're doing. But, I don't know what they're saying. Unless I have an interpreter, it doesn't benefit me. And that's what we're talking about. Tongues is a language, so when you're talking in tongues, there needs to be an interpretation. Unless you're, doing it privately or doing it to yourself or in worship. And that's the point that he's making here. You know, I told you the story about Jennifer and went down to Mexico, and she's about that high. She was what? 4? She's probably about that high. Yeah, maybe a little lower. 4.5, and we went to Monclova, Mexico. Henry and Josie Saragosa. Henry just went on to be the Lord this year. But anyway, he'd started to work down there. In fact, we were instrumental in getting that work started, and we'd gone down, preached. I did a pastor's conference there and so on this years ago. Of course, Jennifer's just blonde-haired, blue-eyed. You know, she was just, really toe-headed, really blonde-headed. Those big blue eyes. And we got amongst all these little Hispanic kids, and she comes running up to us and she says, Mom and Daddy, everybody down here speaks in tongues. And we explained to her, said, well, no, honey, that's their language. That's another language. Yeah, it's another language. That's right, speaking tongues. They all speak in tongues. And I could not get it across to her. She didn't know. She thought they were all speaking in tongues. So she'd run out into the middle of a bunch of those little kids because they loved her. They were touching her and her hair and her blue eyes, And she'd get in the middle and go, oh, shabba la la ma, ya la la ma, ka shabba. And they were just going, como se llama, mi llama, so. They were just talking in Spanish. She thought they were just all talking in tongues, Because it is a language. Tongues is a language. It's just one we don't know. True story. She'd been baptized with the Holy Ghost since she was a little bitty thing. Okay, so let's wrap this up. I'll have to pick this up next week. Ron Barber took all my time. 10th verse, there may be many kinds of languages in the world. None of them is without significance. And tongues is a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a language. He's not dissing tongues. He's not saying it's wrong. He's just saying it's a time and a place. And there's an order for things. And we've got to have order in the church. I want the Holy Ghost to move. I want the flow of the Holy Ghost. I want order, though. We can't be running over each other. We can't holler over each other. Are you with me? There's got to be some recognition of authority here. And who's in charge, as it were, someone orchestrating the service We can't all just have carte blanche when someone feels like they have something. They need to be recognized. We've talked about that. I'm not going to have time to get into all that tonight. And that just makes good sense. Listen, you get 500 people, you get 1,000 people, you can't have people just standing up, just taking over. You've got to be recognized because you've got to have a microphone. We want everybody to benefit from it. We're not trying to kill it. We want to order it so everybody benefits from it. Are you out there? So, he says this, 11 verse, therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, that's a good thing, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Everything we do should be to edify the church. Amen? And we want the flow of the Holy Ghost, we want the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and I'm just going to have to pick this up next week. Did y'all learn anything tonight? To help you at all? Hallelujah. Well, go home and study it. What'd you learn, right? Huh? We're all foreigners. Yeah, we're foreigners. No, take it, study it. Study the 14th chapter because we're going to be teaching on that. Obviously, it's going to be another week. And well, there's so much in here, it may take us a couple more weeks to even finish this thing out. But this is good stuff. You know, you see the extreme Pentecostalism with no order. Then you have anti-Pentecostalism with no gifts. Hey, both those camps are wrong. There's got to be a flow of the Holy Ghost. There's got to be gifts of the Spirit. We cannot forbid to speak with tongues. We cannot, are you with me, cut out gifts in our services and the supernatural in our services. But we do need to do it the right way, amen, and have order. And that's why there's so much instruction here.